Welcome to the Wellbeing Ignites Well-Doing podcast, produced by OOT Social Health, where the focus is on exploring the essential elements that drive organizational success, human-centric leadership. Hosted by Adjoa Boahidi, principal of AKB Talent Edge. It is my privilege to introduce Betsy Estrada, a seasoned human resource executive whose career has redefined how organizations align human capital strategies with business goals. As the Chief Human Resources Officer at Sumitomo Pharma America, Betsy provides strategic HR leadership to a global workforce, championing transformation and innovation across the employee experience. With decades of experience spanning leadership roles at Eurovant Science, Nihon Kohden America, and the Claremont Colleges, she has driven impactful HR strategies in high-growth industries. Betsy's expertise includes talent acquisition, succession planning, organizational design, and fostering inclusive company cultures. A trusted advisor to the board and C-suite executives, Betsy consistently delivers measurable results through her innovative and people-focused approach. Today, we'll explore her insights on driving strategic HR transformation, cultivating future leaders, and building resilient, high-performing organizations. Please join me in welcoming Betsy. So as you may know, at the Employee Wellbeing Council, we believe in remaining human-centric in the age of AI. And so as part of that, we want to come to know you a bit. You're human, so let's center on you. The way we do that is we use questions from the Proust questionnaire designed to ask you questions that may not seem so obvious. And by answering those questions, Proust felt we get to have insight into the true nature of the person. So are you ready for your question, Betsy?
I am ready.
Okay, so which talent would you most like to have?
Ooh, I would like to have a natural talent for comedy. You know, I think, yes, bringing joy and laughter into someone's life is, I think, truly a gift. And I wish it was something I was naturally talented at, but unfortunately, I am not.
That's great. You know, nobody has brought that one before to this conversation. And I love that. I love the notion of laughter and what it does for people's, right? So hormones, I can't remember which one, is it dopamine or something that gets released when you laugh? And really it is the medicine, as the old adage goes.
So that's so terrific. True. Yes.
That's terrific. So let's now delve into your expertise, of which is vast. And as a CHRO at Sumitomo Pharma, how do you approach developing and implementing HR strategies that align with business objectives, in particular as the pharma industry is always a high-growth environment?
Yes. Well, I take a three-pronged approach that really consists of starting with strategy. That's number one. Two is listening to the voice of the employee. And third is looking and understanding market trends, right? I think in terms of the first one, to understand the strategy, I really connect with our leaders across the organization to have a clear view of their needs as well as the company objectives to ensure that I'm able to align the HR programs and strategy to the business to help advance those objectives. When it comes to the piece around the voice of the employee, it's so important to really engage the employees. We here at SMPA take a bottoms-up approach where we encourage our employees to engage in the development of our strategy. And in preparation for our HR strategy here, we actually hosted Voice of the Employee sessions where we invited every employee who wanted to attend. We held several of these sessions to really get an understanding from them what their needs, what their wants, what their desires were, right? Because there's no sense in us creating programs and services if they're not going to meet the needs of our people. And then when it comes to market trends, it's continuously keeping up with what is going on externally outside of the virtual windows and doors and walls, if you will, of SMPA to really understand what those labor trends are, what the best practices that other companies are implementing. So that's really the three-pronged approach that we take here in terms of creating strategy.
That's fabulous. And what I really appreciate is the bottom up, top down. I mean, obviously, right, the business strategy and even talent strategies will be created from the top. But having that bottom up influence is where you meet in the middle then to really have those, right, that impact. And historically, once upon a time in a traditionalist world, it was just top down, right? It thou shalt. And then folks wondered, as we transitioned, you know, with the generations as well, folks wondered, why do we have turnover? Why don't these younger people just appreciate thou shalt, right? So
yes,
gathering that voice of the employee is actually also very strategic. Would you not agree?
I would absolutely agree, you know, and it's something that I wish more organizations would take advantage of, because we hire these very talented people who have great ideas, right? So tap into that talent and those ideas to ensure the success of the organization. And as you pointed out, it also helps with overall buy-in, right? Mm-hmm. In the past, companies wondered, why are these strategies, why are these initiatives failing? Well, because you don't have the buy-in from the employee population, which are really the ones going to be driving the success forward.
Sure, they're going to be the ones executing it, right?
Absolutely.
So you can plan all you wish, but if nobody, or as I like to say, you can lead, but if no one's following you,
yes,
right? You're being alone.
Yes.
Yeah, you're in it alone. And the other piece that I really appreciated was the notion of also surveying the market, right? Your third point, surveying the market and what's going on and the trends. So I think it's easy sometimes to be pretty myopic in the sense of what's going on internally, but it's super important, especially as a senior leader, to understand what are those labor trends, what are those socioeconomic, political trends that are happening that will affect your workforce, your ability to really deliver as the CHRO on that strategy.
Yes, very true.
Excellent. And so you've been involved in transformative change. And so transformation means, you know, going from A to B or some kind of change involved in the middle there. And so what have been some of the key components that you think about, that you work on, that always say, okay, I have to remember, or I have to coach my team to remember these key components in creating that change and having that successful employee experience?
No, I think that the key to successful transformation really relies on four things. One is having a clear vision. Two is consistent and transparent communication.
Mm-hmm.
Three is really around organizational readiness. And then fourth, and most important in my mind, is having strong leaders, right? And I can go through each one of these if you would like me to.
I will come to the leadership. I'm going to pause on the leadership because we're going to talk about leadership in a moment. I'm particularly interested in that organizational readiness piece, because I think, again, when sometimes we push change, but is the organization, meaning ergo the people, the workforce, the employees, the associates, are they ready? Is leadership ready? So I'm putting words into your mouth. That may not be at all what you mean by organizational readiness, but would you mind expanding on that for me?
Sure. No, you are right on point. And that's exactly what we mean, is making sure that both our leaders as well as our employees are ready for the change. One, we count on our leaders to help explain the change, right? And to help employees embrace that change. There's also a lot of work at SMPA as we were going through our transformation, if you will, back in 2023 when we merged the seven different entities together. It was really around making sure that we provided employees not only with change management training, but also with the support they needed, created a safe environment for them to be able to verbalize their feelings and what they're feeling, right? Because change at the end of the day, whether it's good change or not so good change, is a difficult thing, and it can be an emotional journey for people to go through. So it's very important that they do have those safe spaces where they can speak openly about what they're going through and what they're feeling. And we did that through a number of ways. One is through their manager, of course, making sure that the manager was open to listening to the employee. Two is the HR department. Three, we also had a support system where employees were there to support one another. we had these employee roundtables where we would bring them together and we would pick a topic around change, right? And have them openly share what they were going through. And they would share their best practices with one another. It also helped build those connections mm-hmm. with employees so that they now had a buddy, if you will, that they could tap on later on if they were encountering something that they were having a difficult time with to call upon, sort of that lifeline, if you will.
That's fabulous. Creating a peer network, right? Yes. Is a buddy, a peer network. Because when we think about change, oftentimes we don't recognize or really fully appreciate the emotions that are attached to change. And fundamentally, that's what it boils down to, right? I mean, our amygdala, when changes happen, it either fires, it's fight or flight. Yes. And so recognizing that that's going to happen and then building strategies around helping employees understand, even themselves understand what they're going through, I think is super. And peer network certainly is one of the ways, as well as having your manager. But sometimes people are trepidatious. They may be fearful, not because they don't like their manager or their manager's not a good leader, but they're just worried about even voicing their fears, right, to an authority person. So having a multitude of ways by which they can express that is fabulous. Before we come to sort of leadership questions, I have to ask, it's a topic of du jour, right? AI. AI is the topic du jour. And certainly, I mean, from the applicant tracking systems have been around for quite a while. I don't know if people recognize that because when I speak to people still, they don't oftentimes realize the degree to which they're employed. And now we have generative applicant tracking systems. And so whether it's that or performance management, I mean, there's all sorts of places in which AI either has been implemented, will be implemented within talent management. And so what do you see as critical? And in my notes here, I have 5 years, but I mean, in the speed of AI, I should just say in the next year, right?
Now, exactly.
What is be critical for HR leaders to address or be mindful of in the very shortcoming months/couple years?
Absolutely agree with that. I think it's important for us to stay abreast of what is happening and to begin to look at ways where we could leverage AI technology, right? At SMPA, we're already doing some of that and then also have plans to expand the utilization of AI. Right now, from an HR perspective, we use it from a business perspective, but I'll focus only on the HR perspective. From an HR perspective, we use AI when it comes to talent acquisition, as you mentioned, and the technology has been there forever. I actually did a stint, if you will, in talent acquisition years ago. And even years ago, right, we're talking about 10 plus years ago, there was that ability to utilize that technology really to help screen candidates to ensure that they met the minimum qualifications, to help you rank your ace candidates so that you could prioritize them. So that's certainly something that we're utilizing here. We're also utilizing AI. We'll be utilizing it for a chatbot to help our employees have their personal information, HR information at their fingertips, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes the employee, it's after hours and they need to find out, hey, who's my insurance carrier? And is my entire family covered? Which plan do I have? And, you know, HR is gone for the day. But with this chatbot, they'll be able to enter whatever question they have, frequently asked questions, and they'll be able to get an answer immediately. Another way that we're utilizing AI is for job descriptions as well. We'll be launching that very shortly, right? Because we are still a fairly new organization, only established in 2023, we're still in the process of creating job descriptions. And we asked, look, there must be technology that can help us with this instead of, you know, creating 700 or so job descriptions out there. And so we are going to be implementing AI to assist us with that. We're also using it to help us understand the market trends and to help us focus our recruitment efforts. We're fortunate enough to be a mostly remote work environment. And so we really can tap into talent anywhere within the continental US.
Right.
And so we use this tool that allows us, we put in certain parameters or skills that we're looking for, and it will give us information in terms of what is the going rate for this role? What is the candidate pipeline look like for this role? What geographic area should you be targeting? Even what are some of the companies that might have that kind of talent that you're looking for? And so it helps us really focus our recruitment efforts.
Fabulous. That's a great list of ways in which AI is of benefit. And particularly, I tweaked on the first two, the accessibility, right, for employees. I mean, it's a great thing because perhaps your child's in need of medical care and you need to figure that out really quickly. And it's 8 o'clock at night. Right. And so where and how and when. And then on the other side, it allows your HR colleagues who, these are sort of routine information giving tasks that maybe they don't, they can focus their time on being more human centric. They can focus more on the activities of really connecting with, if they're an HR business partner, connecting with their, right, the portfolio in which they lead, rather than answering these things that can now be done at the touch of a fingertips. So it's really, there's a lot of things that efficiencies and accessibility that AI can certainly assist in. And so I had mentioned earlier that we were going to talk about leadership. And so I'd like to delve a little bit into this because you cannot be a CHRO without also having spent time in talent management and leadership development, and thinking about that. And for you, certainly, it must be at the senior and executive level. So what strategies do you, when you're thinking about future leaders and you're building that pipeline, and I'm sure you're charged with succession planning and pipeline filling all the time, Betsy, so what are some of the strategies that you employ or think of when you're building that strong succession pipeline?
Sure. There are two immediate ones that come to mind. One is really around development of that future talent pipeline. And we have a number of different programs. We have mentor programs that help support that development. We have leadership certification programs. We also have emerging leader programs where we put talented individuals who are currently in individual contributor roles who aspire to go into a leadership role through these programs. So development is one. The other piece is also empowering those future leaders and engaging them in decision-making, right? Mm-hmm. We kicked off our CEO Advisory Council, where we selected a certain number of individuals, and there will be a rotation so that it gives opportunity to rotate into these roles. But they work with our CEO, meet with them on a quarterly basis. They have established goals that align back to the business. They've selected specific business opportunities that they can focus on, whether it be financial related or people related to focus on. And they're working towards that. They meet with our CEO, provide the guidance to our CEO, and help implement some of these initiatives. So that has worked really well for us.
I love programs like that. And as you may know, I spent a number of years helping organizations understand the younger generations and how to engage them and drive them. And it's not unusual that I would hear from leaders, well, they're just in their third year and they want to be VP tomorrow. And right, and these sort of perspectives. So these kind of programs, what I really like about them, because they're developmental programs in and of themselves, and they can serve a dual purpose. They can help the business think of something that they may not have thought of or have a particular perspective on something that a senior leader may not have thought of, who's a bit more seasoned. And at the same point in time, what a fabulous development opportunity for somebody to do real life, real work, right? Rather than sort of some synthetic simulation. This is true to the business, and it's a fabulous way to develop people. And I'm sure you must have loads of folks clamoring to join that program. So how do you identify, whether it's for that program or your emerging leaders? Are people able to self-identify? Is it something that was worked through their performance reviews and their managers? How do you come to select?
No, it's a combination of both. Some of the programs are open to all employees, There are other programs that are by selection only, based on if you are identified as a potential successor or if you're a high potential employee, then those programs are limited to certain individuals based on merit. But other programs, as I indicated, are open to our entire employee population.
Right. Fabulous. So at all stage of your career and your roles, you're able to tap into learning and developing your skills, which is important. So building an inclusive and belonging initiatives, and how does belonging and inclusion, you know, link to well-being in your organization and the impact it has as from your perspective on performance? Sort of that trifecta, right, of belonging, performance, and well-being.
Yes, Alden.
Is it a square? Is it a circle? Is it a Venn diagram? What shape would you like to use?
Yes. Well, I'll say they're interconnected is what I will say.
Sure.
But you're so right on that. And that's why I love the title of your program. You know, well-being ignites well-doing. I think that's a great explanation and the reason why more organizations should be paying attention to this. Here at SMPA, we really strive to create an inclusive environment for all of our employees. It's at the core of who we are. It's one of our core values. We really want every employee to feel welcome, to feel respected, to feel valued here in the organization. And there's a number of different ways that we do that. But it's important for us, not only from an employee perspective, but also from a business perspective, right? We are a global organization. And we serve patients around the world. And it's very important for us to have an employee population that has unique backgrounds and different backgrounds so that they have an understanding and compassion for the different needs of our patients. And that uniqueness helps them work collaboratively in order to come up with innovative therapies that will help our patients.
Great. And yes, if you don't understand your patients, it's kind of hard to have service them in the way in which they ought to be serviced, not only should be serviced and could be serviced, but ought to be serviced. And so I will say that I take no credit for the title of this podcast, Betsy. I will give all credit where credit's due to our executive director, Tiagi Delanarol, who came up with that title.
No, it is fantastic.
It is a fantastic title. You and I are in agreement, 100% in agreement on that. So just before I ask you a bit more of a personal question or advice, what is one piece when you think about the well-being of employees and your team, you as a leader for your team, what is one piece of advice, practical advice you would give leaders that I can do today? What can I do today, Betsy, to ensure greater well-being on my team and my colleagues?
It's a very simple one. Listen to your people, right? It's that simple. And it's listening to what they're telling you, but also what they're not telling you. It's keeping an eye out, and you can tell, right, in someone's facial expression, you can tell there's something going on, and probing a little bit more to the extent that's comfortable for the employee. Really asking them, you know, how are you doing? And of course, the initial reaction or response from the employee is going to be, I'm fine, everything's fine, I'm okay, right?
Like,
how are you really feeling today? And keep going down that. And what's going on? And how can I support you? That's the other piece of it, is finding out what's going on, what might be challenging the employee, but also then offering your support and assistance. And sometimes that's simply hearing them out. Other times they do need some sort of intervention from their leader, whether it be, you know, helping them prioritize their workload because they're feeling a little bit overwhelmed on what's on their plate. So listening is the key to it all.
Fair, totally fair. And what I really appreciated that you said that I'm going to draw out is what you said is also listening to what they're not saying. And I think that is takes a skill. And as a colleague from Interact here told us that, you know, listening and having empathy is not like cilantro. It's either you like it or you don't. You can develop. I love that, right? You can develop that. You can develop your listening skills, your active listening skills, and you can develop if you listen and you practice. You can also read what you're not hearing or seeing, right? And body language. So that's fabulous. Thank you for that advice. So just to wrap up our session today, I'd like to ask you at the outset when I introduced you, it said you're a seasoned HR executive. So I won't ask you how many seasons, so you don't have to worry about that. But if you could share one piece of wisdom with your younger self, what would it be?
I would say never be afraid of taking chances, right? It's when we step out of our comfort zone that allows us to grow and develop. And so I would tell my younger self to really embrace every opportunity that comes your way and strive every day to be the best version of yourself that you can be.
Oh, great. Amazing. On behalf of the Employee Wellbeing Council, Betsy, I'd like to thank you for your time today and your insights. It was wonderful to speak with you.
Likewise. Thank you very much for the invitation. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you for joining us on the Wellbeing Ignites Wellbeing podcast, brought to you by OOT Social Health. We hope today's conversation has sparked new insights and inspired you to prioritize well-being in your journey to organizational success. Remember, when well-being ignites, well-doing follows. Stay tuned for more episodes as we continue to explore the power of human-centric leadership. Until then, be well and lead with purpose.